podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's not really, unfortunately.
No,
I haven't
no one
created
believe
a,
that, Suj.
A fake ID and got myself two teams managed to get top.
If you were William McNair, you'd finish about fifth.
Show. Hello everybody, welcome to Planet Sky FF, the world where everything revolves around £50,000. My name's Suj.
My name is James.
I'm done now, James. I don't even know if I'll use my last four. In fact, I don't think I'll use my last four transfers. Out of protest.
Go on.
Out of protest. I think I'm back to 2.5K, 89 points. I missed Monday's deadline, so I didn't have a captain on Monday for Palace, Man United. And I made four transfers on Sunday, but I was out at a family lunch, so I didn't really have the time and effort to think about what the fuck I was going to do. So I sold Foden, Solanke, Branthwaite, Edison, and I bought Petrovic, Trent, Bowen, and Watkins.
Well, Petrovic did well.
And I think I captained Watkins. I did captain Watkins. I thought, go on. Brighton been conceding goals. Let's have a bash. Trent, Bowen, Watkins all flopped. But I thought, let me get players that no one else has got.
Yeah,
who
sure.
is going to buy them on Sunday? No one. You weren't going to buy Bowen. You weren't going to buy Watkins. You'd been saying all week, don't worry about it. Trent and Van Dijk going to score about 50 goals against Spurs from corners. So I thought, let me get Trent for shits and giggles because I ain't owned him all season and he can be a go off a bit. And then Chelsea got shitloads of fixtures, got Petrovic, and yeah, it was shit, mate, to be honest. So, and obviously I didn't own Haaland on Saturday, did I? So not owning Haaland was a major fuck up. So it was what it was going to be was get to Sunday and either gamble and try and get top 1,000, and if it doesn't work, then screwed, and it's screwed. So it is what it is. I'll just use formal transfer. I don't even know what I'll buy, to be honest with you.
Do you know what I think you should do just for proper shits and giggles with your last four transfers?
I'll do them now if you tell me.
No, don't do them now. Do them on Sunday. Go blanket Manchester United defence.
All right, I'll do it. Johnny Evans. Who else?
Dalot, Wan-Bissaka. Okay. Don't do them now.
I don't think I'll be able to afford them all, James. I don't think I'll be able to afford them, James.
No?
No.
Sorry, mate.
I might get Malacia.
You could have bought Mateta on Monday night. That might have helped you financially.
Kamwala and Dengushi. I might buy him.
Dengushi, yeah.
7 points this season so far, apparently.
Who's Dengushi?
Don't know.
Show me.
Kamwala Dengushi.
Oh, it's the same guy. Okay.
Yeah.
Willie Kambwala.
Dengushi, yeah.
Okay.
He's got 7 points this season, James.
I thought you'd brought up a new player called Dengushi, who maybe if Manchester United bought Dengushi, it might help, actually. Yeah. Oh, well, never mind, mate.
It is what it is. Look, it's done. But, yeah, there's zero hope of getting anywhere now other than let's start again next season.
You are not the only one who is game over because I can't do anything now other than change captaincies.
Did you make a transfer?
I am out of transfers, yes. I'd concluded on Friday/Saturday that I was going to use possibly my last one on Monday night to move Malo Gusto to Daniel Munoz. And go for a rogue differential captain, particularly if Bruno Fernandes didn't make it. And because you and I were very much of the opinion that Palace would do well against them.
Why do I feel like there's a butt coming?
Well, the butt is that Malo Gusto suddenly reappeared on Sunday, and I thought, well, there's no real logic in moving that. So I'll just stick with Bruno Fernandes, captain, on Monday night and roll the last one. Obviously, then it became clear on Monday that Bruno was going to miss out. And looking at my team, I've got Bar, Saliba and Salah, who I intend to captain on Sunday and Monday, respectively. All my other players had like three fixtures left. So I didn't want to move any of them on, except for obviously Jordan Pickford only had two, one of which being Arsenal away. So I did the move that I think a lot of people ended up doing. Andre Onana is now the most owned goalkeeper in the top 1,000. There was zero expectation on it. It was just a logical 5-for-2. To get it done. So that's it done. The lack of Bruno Fernandes information doesn't help. But in all seriousness, had I thought, oh, Bruno might be out for the season, I would have bought Eze. So it would have been equally as shite, unfortunately. It was Elise and Mateta were the two that went off, and obviously Daniel Munoz defensively and Tyreek Mitchell both did quite well. So yeah, all out now. Transfers done. 52nd. And I suppose just trying to cling here to try and hit that top 50. I think with what I've got, I'm pretty hopeful that I would stay within the top 100. But to hit the personal best of 30th, I don't think it's going to happen from here.
Okie dokie. Should we look at captaincy then for the upcoming weekend?
Yep.
Where are the fixtures? Right here. So on the Saturday, are you going to stick with Haaland away at Fulham?
I would say probably yes, because I'm kind of more in a defence mode now, having used the transfers. There's a little bit of temptation maybe for Isak or Sonny. But I think seeing the City team, yeah, unless it's something that City team that I don't particularly like, then yeah, I'm always, you know me, I'm always of the opinion if he's got a home game, don't argue, as per seeing the weekend just gone. Away games, you do feel like you can take him on. But it's also the knowledge of how important the game is for City. Now, I think Haaland, what I would say is I think there'll be, Bruno Fernandes is owned by roughly 2/5 of the top 1,000. If there was information to suggest that he was going to miss the rest of this season, which of course once we hit the weekend, there's like, what, 9 days physically to go, then I do think there's a number of players that you can go into that other people won't have, who have got the extra games, who play on Saturday. So, to name a few, Kevin De Bruyne, Noni Madueke, Richarlison. These are players who I think, specifically for those who might land with bad Bruno Fernandes news, should really look at making that move on a Saturday for a differential player like that. And once you go into it, there's every case to go all the way with it and look at captaincy. I mean, Palmer, of course, away to Forest is another option on Saturday as well. Just a little bit aware that subject to Burnley and Luton's results, Forest might put the hatches down a little bit. It could, of course, go the other way, where Forest look like they're safe by the time they kick off and it becomes quite an open game. But yeah, I think Haaland is the best captain Saturday, but there's a lot of alternatives to consider. And under that Bruno Fernandes situation, there's a lot that you could go and invest in who are very lowly owned.
I'm going to captain Jared Bowen on Saturday.
I don't hate that.
Yeah, on the Sunday, I've got Bruno and Saliba. Bruno, if he plays, Saliba, if he doesn't.
This will sound ridiculous, but Saliba is the more likely to haul.
Yeah, but also, do not do anything I'm doing from an FPL point of view. Sky point of view. I'm going rogue.
Even if Bruno Fernandes is fit, I'll be captaining Saliba on Sunday.
That's the sensible thing to do, kids. But I'm going to go Bruno.
No, not really, because I think a lot of people disagree with that opinion that, you know, Saliba's more likely to haul. I just look at it and think Arsenal go there and smash him to bits. So Saliba could hit the goal and the clean sheet.
You'll get 10, Saliba.
I don't know if it'd pass him to or not.
Okay.
Not sure, actually.
Yeah, I've only got those two. But Bruno will be it for me on the Sunday. Monday night, we've got Aston Villa, Liverpool. I'm going to go Watkins. I bought the bastard. I may as well cancel
What's
him.
Watkins' ownership in the top 1,000?
It is. Let me click. 15.8.
Yeah, and Mo Salah's at 28.2.
I don't own Salah. So.
I wonder if there's a lot of people leaving one to go back to Salah, particularly now, I think, on Monday night. I think that might be part of people's plans to maybe even last transfer, justify it on the captaincy. So I think that will go up Monday night. I think Watkins possibly will as well. You obviously want something from that night. What have you got, Watkins?
Yeah, I'll just go Watkins. I've got Van Dijk and Trent, to be honest with you, but I'm going to go...
Van Dijk's ownership's taken a bit of a hit, but it's still pretty strong and solid. And I guess those people...
50.
Yeah, I guess those people are just going to go with that. So you've got, what, 50 for Van Dijk, 30% roughly for Salah, and what you're saying is, what, 15 for Watkins.
And 2 for Trent.
And 2 for Trent. And there'll be other kind of little bits and bobs as well. I suppose once you total that, most people will have a player in place for Monday night. Mm. But I do think there'll be movements back to particularly Mo Monday night for those who've got transfers left. A free spirit Liverpool, I'd probably get slight favouritism. Villa looked very fatigued Sunday. It will certainly help that the game is Monday rather than Sunday, because obviously they've got this big game with Olympiacos tomorrow night. So I think little favouritism there is with Mo, actually.
Yeah, I think that's sensible as well. I bought Ollie Watkins. He better repay the faith. What about on the Tuesday?
Haaland.
I'm going to go Sonny.
Haaland against my back line.
I'm going to go Sonny.
Yeah, it's clear as day, mate.
Yeah, I might actually go Rodri because he's my favourite player in this game and I haven't captained him, I don't think, maybe once all season. So I'll probably actually captain Rodri just because I like him.
De Bruyne and Foden, really good shouts for next Tuesday as well, I would suggest.
I mean, there's loads of good options there, isn't there?
He's definitely a City player over a Tottenham player. You just couldn't make it. I'm trying to think of circumstance here. Like I said, I used the one where if Tottenham win Saturday, if Arsenal slip up Sunday and then Villa slip up Monday, then Tottenham go all out for victory. But I just think under that circumstance, even more so, it's still a City player.
Yeah.
So, Haaland Tuesday.
Wednesday night, I mean, we'll record before then.
Isak.
It's part of it. I mean, I've got Petrovic, I've got Isak, I've got Gordon, I've got Bruno.
Not got Palmer?
Nah. Never went back for him. Because I knew he'd do nothing against West Ham, didn't I, obviously. I might go Gordon for that one.
Yeah, don't hate that.
I might go Gordon. Mix it up. I just want to have a few different captaincies now.
Isak, clear for me on that one. Over Palmer, those would be the main two. You, Manchester United, if anyone watched the game Monday night, just know that's in bits at the moment.
Yeah.
So, Isak for me.
Okie dokie. I'm going to go Gordon for that one. I'm going to have a bit of fun with my captaincies between now and the end of the season. Cool. Did you want to cover off any of the stats from the weekend? What's relevant now?
Yeah, we'd only cover those little bits. Obviously, firstly, the game last Thursday, Chelsea-Tottenham. Only two passing tiers in the game, and there were only tier one for Tottenham's two centre-backs, Mickey van der Ven and Christian Romero. There were a number of Chelsea tackle tiers, one of which was for Nicholas Jackson, who also got a shot tier in the game to go with his goal as well, and obviously prior to nice little haul on Sunday. From the Friday night game, Luton-Everton, no real winners out of this. Jared Brantford didn't get the assist, did he, that you'd get in FPL? I don't think he doesn't get that in Sky.
Sorry, no, he did.
Oh, he did get it, did he?
Yeah. Okay. That's why he was at one point, only 1 point ahead of Pickford, because Pickford did all right with 4 points relative to...
So, I mean, four points for Pickford, five for Branthwaite, and you're probably pretty happy with that, actually. Yeah. I think just have the coverage off and...
Branthwaite's been fine for
a few points
period,
over others. Ashley Young hit a tackle tier, so did Idrissa Garner-Gay and Harrison. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, obviously, goal shot tier. I did see one or two gambled that, and people had excess transfers. There's no interest in Luton at the moment. No passing tiers again for the Arsenal players against Bournemouth. Kai Havertz with a shot tier and a tackle tier and a yellow card. Bukayo Saka goal, three shots on target. Those were the only tiers from the Arsenal players. Dango Ataro with a tackle tier for Bournemouth. That's not the first time that's happened this season. Brentford Fulham, nothing particularly of note here. Save tier for Fleck and shot tier for Lewis Potter. For the Newcastle players at Burnley, no passing tiers. It was a save tier for Dubravka. There's some speculation, but we don't know at the moment. Obviously, Nick Pope might go back in goal on Saturday. Lewis Hall hit a tackle tier. Isak, three shots on target, a goal. Did he get an assist? No, missed penalty. Yeah. I don't think he got the assist.
He lost points for the missed penalty, yeah.
Bruno Guimaraes, goal, shot tier, six tackles, one. Joel Linton came on in the 77th minute and set himself about business, picking up a tackle tier in those 13 and a bit minutes.
Crazy considering they were winning as well, like comfortably at that point to be racking up the tackle tiers. Maybe it's still high press.
He's missed 4 months of football and wants to get back involved.
Running around like a nutter.
Ryan Yates of Forest hit a tackle tier at Sheffield United. Hudson-Odoi with a shot tier. So too Brereton Diaz and Cameron Archer. For City against Wolves, passing tiers perhaps not what you would have expected. Rodri, 80 passes. Kovacic, 73. Akanji, 71, all in tier two. That's your lot. Nathan Aki, 54 passes completed, went off with 21 minutes to go. So it would have been a very similar number to Akanji, yep. I think it's fair to say. Josko Vardiol, 41. Kyle Walker, 55. Erling Haaland, 7 shots on target. There were seven saves for Jose Sarr of Wolves. Nelson Semedo and João Gomes, who's a player very interesting price next year, also hit tier two tackles. Brighton and Aston Villa. Only one Brighton player hit a passing tier. Serge, any guesses?
Lewis Dunk.
Oh, gee, I wonder. 77 completed, though. Igor Julio and Adam Webster, 50 and 57, respectively. Pau Torres and Diogo Carlos of Aston Villa actually hit passing tiers as well. Danny Welbert with a tackle tier for Brighton. Adingra and João Pedro shot tiers. I wonder if something like a João Pedro might become a differential if people had transfers left going into next Wednesday night. Chelsea against West Ham. Alphonse Areola, 5 conceded, but 9 saves made. So just Jesus.
Only?
Yeah, my God. Mudryk and Palmer, shot tier 1. Madueke and Palmer, shot tier 2. Mark Cucurella with a tackle tier to go with tier 1 passing. Chalobah and Gallagher also tier 1 passing. And tier 2 passing for Badiashile, Thiago Silva and Moises Caicedo meant that every single Chelsea starting player returned during that match.
Dude, 7
Sunday.
Players in double-digit returns for Chelsea. 7 players in double-digit returns.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
And
yeah.
West Ham's 4 defenders have a combined minus 10 between them.
So who wouldn't have been in double? Petrovic, Chalobah.
Yeah, he was on 9 points. Chalobah, 9 points.
Gallagher.
Caicedo, 8 points.
Gallagher.
Mudryk, only
Gallagher
4.
Scored, didn't
Gallagher
he?
Was on... Mudryk, Gallagher yeah. got... where is he? 10. Yeah, Mudryk got 4. But yeah, Caicedo, Chalobah and Petrovic didn't get to double digits, but still got 8, 9, 9. That's hauling.
From Liverpool, Tottenham. Trent, you said nothing, Serge. 6 tackles, 1. Yellow card. He did also nearly score from the halfway line, by the way, as well. Alexis McAllister, 20 passes completed. You won't see that often, but did pick up a tackle tier. Alisson with a save tier. Gakpo, Elliot and Salah all in shot tiers. As was Richarlison, who made an impressive cameo appearance in the final half hour. Yves Bissouma and Christian Romero, both in tier 2 passing. Romero just at 70, Bissouma at 73. Vicario with 8 saves to go with his 4 goals conceded. And from Manchester United's disaster class against Crystal Palace, have this for a stat. I read on Tuesday morning that no player got taken on more in a Premier League game this season than Casemiro did on Monday night.
Right.
And yet he won 7 tackles.
Wow.
Johnny Evans won 8.
He's come out of this with an 8-pointer.
Yeah, because...
And
they,
Johnny Evans, a 5-pointer.
Yeah, because they both fit tier 2 passing as well, 86 and 95 respectively.
Mad.
Kobe Maino, tier 1 passing and tier 2 tackles. Andre Onana, 6 saves to go with his 4 conceded. So there's a few batterings about.
He might be interesting next year, Maino. I don't think you'll see much of a price rise.
I think he might on reputation.
I mean, he's at 7 million now. Declan Rice is at 8.1. I mean, do you see Declan Rice going up much?
Let's also look at this realistically and say he's been 7 million and he's been in the team for 4 or 5 months now.
Yeah.
We've barely mentioned him on this podcast.
It's true.
Tyreek Mitchell and Michael Olise in shots here. Olise, the real hauler here. 2 goals scored, 3 shots on target. It was also a tackle tier for Wharton. And Daniel Munoz, 5 tackles, 1 to go with his 2 assists. Gutted.
16-pointer.
Such a cool differential to finish with, but is what it is. I think they'll probably do well in their last 2 games as well, Palace against Wolves and Villa. That's your data, boss.
Oh, lovely. Okie dokie. Well, with that in mind then, shall we get into some questions that we've had on
yes,
the internet?
You
chose Richarlison for the old thumbnail, yeah?
Well, yeah, I just think that's a really interesting one. As I said, kind of with Madueke and Kevin De Bruyne, that people can steam into on Saturday if there's Bruno news, if people got the money available, or if people got other injuries. I think Madueke is a real cheeky one. But Richarlison is a forward, 8 million. It's good.
The word of the questions today is not essential, James, or nailed.
Yeah,
it's differential.
Okay, there you go. Yeah,
and quite rightly, being that we've got just like literally 2 or 3 games left for players. Andy Mack, he's got 3 transfers left. He's got no cover for Monday, which is Villa, Liverpool.
Yep.
Would you target Salah or Watkins or both?
I think Salah.
I think it's dependent on whether you're chasing or trying to be defensive as well. Like if you're at my rank, go crazy. Go Luis Diaz. Who cares? But if you're up there and you want to maintain your rank, then obviously Salah's the safe move.
I think it's an offensive one. I think, you know, you know, consider someone like Alexis McAllister, who's capable of the little bit of everything to get you several different tiers. I think Mo edges it because you might want to captain him final day as well. At home to Wolves, I think that's a competitive choice. Watkins at Villa, at Palace, is not that choice, I don't think. So I think that gives it the edge for Mo, and I think there's every chance that, I think from a Villa perspective, they might land in a situation Monday where they're quite happy with a draw. It's not to say they'll play for it, but they might be quite happy with it. It could flip the other way where there's a bit of nervousness and they go for it a little bit more. Particularly if Palace do well again on Saturday. And that can obviously allow space for Mo. So I think Mo gets the edge there, I think.
Dave Hannigan, best differential for the last 2 weeks?
I think there's a case for Richie. I think there is, yeah. And yeah. I really like Madueke, as mentioned a lot on pods yesterday.
I think he's a good shout as well, just because volume of fixtures with Madueke.
Madueke's ownership, it's got to be so
low. It's
going
to be zero. Like, I don't even need to look and look. What do you think? Well, what am I going to say?
Wait, in the top thousands? I think about sort of 1.5% ish or so.
Okay.
I think a few might have gone there on Sunday.
More or less, Nico, than 1.5%. Fail. 0.2%, mate.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. No one owns this guy. And why would you? 7.9. That's only 0.2 less than Declan Rice, for example, who's racked up 200 points this season now.
The thing is as well, and the reason someone like that would be a really good differential still, because of, despite recent performances, there's no way you'd pick him over Palmer, logically, with Palmer at 6.5, right? That don't matter now.
No, exactly.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If you want it, consider it. And I think that they've hit a bit of form recently. Although, as I said on Juice last night, it's very quickly forgotten they got trounced at Arsenal a couple of weeks ago. That's like years ago already now. But I really like him as a differential. There's quite a few went for Jackson at the weekend. You can consider that as well. The problem, I think, is I think the best differentials of, let's say, the six teams with the extra fixture, i.e. the midweek teams next week, the best ones, I think, are probably from Tottenham, Chelsea and City. And they'll play Saturday. That's why I mentioned this, you know, if Bruno Fernandes is
injuries forcing your hand and giving you the opportunity to move early.
Otherwise, psychologically, I think you end up waiting, arguably, for Tuesday or Wednesday next week, because you could, say, use your captain Sunday or Monday and then move that on to the Tuesday, Wednesday. It's a psychological, isn't it? You don't want to move unless there's extra fixtures. And frankly, I can't advise it unless it's for injured players this weekend.
Okie dokie. Dave also says if there are any must-haves. He's got a lot of City and single game day covered by defenders.
No must-have at this stage.
Yeah, agreed. He said, thanks for the great pod through the season. Good luck with the move for me. The pod's been fun. And even though there's this and next week and it's really now, it has been. And we pick it up again and we'll come back to that point about the pod being fun in a second with another question that we've had. FPL Frog, cheers mate. Fredo's in the house.
Cheers, yeah,
mate. He has Pickford. He didn't pick up Onana on Monday as I used my fifth transfer of the week on Salah thinking it was my fourth. Well, save, dodge a bullet there a little bit, haven't you?
Yeah.
He's got no captaincy on Sunday. Should I still go on Onana or is Raya worth a punt even with one fixture less?
This is really interesting.
I'd say Raya.
Oh, yeah.
Probably. Especially Everton last day of the season.
Yeah.
Still something to play for. Not that United don't have something to play for, but Arsenal have more to play for.
No, I mean, I got Onana in on the logic of thinking there's four games here and I don't fancy him for a clean sheet, but I bet he hits a save tier in all of them. Does that get me enough extra? Plus, you can always fluke something like a pen save and still get a bit of a haul out of it or something, right? But I think Raya, yeah.
Okay.
You could comfortably see, on that basis, you're going a 3-for-1 and Pickford's one would be away to Arsenal. Very conceivable if you did Raya, you get like a 9-pointer times two and another 9-pointer. So, what, 27 points? Pickford 2-to-4-pointer at the Emirates, maybe. I mean, on that, it's worth it. Whereas versus Onana, what we're saying, sort of 12-to-15, maybe.
Yep.
I think it's rare. Now, obviously, one goal against Arsenal in either game obviously changes that. But, I mean, just right in front of you from a captaincy perspective, Raya or Onana Sunday. It's Raya, isn't it?
Last but not least, two questions to go. First, Mariusz Stojka. He's asked an interesting question. Yeah. He hasn't asked the question, and he's also asked the question. I'm not going to answer the question he's asked, because we have, but I'm going to add a question. It's his first season playing Sky. He's really enjoyed it. He's into the top 1K, and he's got 10 transfers left.
Oh, boom.
He's done well. Any teams for the final two game weeks? So that question we've talked about for the final two game weeks. My point is, though, James, he can use 5 transfers in the next week.
Yeah.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Wednesday, whatever
and
teams you want to go in. 5
for Sunday.
But 5 on the Sunday. But really, you don't want to smash 5 on the Sunday. There's no transfer gain. So wouldn't it be sensible to use, if you've got players that you don't really want, just use them now to set up for the Saturday.
Yeah, and use them before the end of Thursday.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this, Marish, I hope you are, remember, like, you don't, using 5 on the final day, fixing injuries, no problem, and keeping 1 or 2 back if you really want to and take a big punt on the final day for something because you'll see all the teams, cool. But then you can only use 5 next week, so try and use 3 this week to set yourself up for 5 next week, which means making an early transfer for someone that plays on a Saturday as a sideways move, particularly if it's like City or another Newcastle or something. Makes sense. So use those transfers. Don't be a search.
I would with that. I think I would. Can't see the team and how bad it is or good it is. But I would, yeah, be looking at players I can get rid of. I would, if that was me, I think I'd be looking at buying one differential player from each of Tottenham, Chelsea and Manchester City in the next 24 hours.
Richarlison, Madueke and
De Bruyne, Vardy, or whatever.
Alvarez, maybe, if you fancied it.
No.
Formation dependent, no.
No, I think City will...
Vardy, I think, is the one.
Very similar team. I mean, something rogue, even like Kovacic. Because I think he'll probably play the games. But one each from them, I think. And then you're still carrying the extra fixtures. Then for your 5 for next week, get your best captain for Sunday, best captain for Monday, best captain for Tuesday, 2 more on Wednesday. And then save 2 for the final day.
There you go. Ellis Henley says, I caught a bit of you both on FPL Juice today. That was yesterday. Go and visit youtube.com/FPL Juice. Have a listen. We were guests on the show yesterday. Good fun. Interesting to hear you both prefer Sky over official FPL.
Yeah, we said it publicly. We don't just bullshit on this podcast. Nah. Well, actually, we bullshit a lot, but we don't lie.
I didn't catch the reasons for that, though. Maybe I'm more of a casual, but I like that the deadline is the deadline. I sit back and watch my picks over a game week rather than daily. So the question is, why do we prefer it? It's the last question of the show, James. I thought I'd chuck it in right
now. Yeah,
no, we've definitely done a few pods that are about the rules of Sky, how to get yourself set up for Sky. It's nice when we get people like Marius who are saying, look, played for the first season and had a lot of fun. If Ellis is the type of manager that doesn't want to have a daily captain and daily transfers and so on, then Sky won't suit you. Simple as that.
No, absolutely.
But I think the reason I would summarise it is that it's that the balance of skill and luck is more towards skill than FPL. Like FPL, you're very reliant on luck, whereas Sky, the balance still comes back. And at the end of the day, it's still a guessing game, right? We're still trying to figure out who's going to do well or not. And any given week, you can get slapped or you can get lucky and something goes off big. But the balance of skill and luck is more in the favour of skill because you're trying to be more strategic and forward plan for a little bit longer. I prefer it because of that. I think that there's more fun involved in the planning. And I'm still a casual Sky player, yet I still quite get into it in patches. I think I'm good at like 4 or 5 week blocks rather than a 40-week block. And then I end up fucking up 2 weeks in between these 4 or 5 week blocks. There's 5 weeks on, 2 weeks off. But that's why. Because it can be about skill.
I think I'll paraphrase, and it's not an exact quote, but our good friend Luke Williams has said in the past, like, you know, it's the fantasy football game for the fantasy football manager. That's how it feels.
Okay.
This feels like the purest form of the real game for fantasy football managers, and for someone like me who's all about the planning and the strategy, this is the ideal game for me because the strategy within every given week, not a plan for my bench boosting double game week 37, it's you know, where TV picks go, my understanding of how that can work, the strategy of 3-for-1s, 4-for-1s, effective 5-for-1s, et cetera, all leads into a strategy perspective that very much helps and suits my game where I can have an advantage over certain others, I think. I think shows in rank, right? So that's, I've had a decent season again. And it's just a reminder, I think, that the game is winnable.
100%.
It's not realistic to think of winning FPL. It's not realistic to think about winning this one. But, you know, this time last year, we were lucky enough to sit here with Fergie and Paul had obviously just won the game. That's mad. You know, that's my mate who's won it. It's brilliant.
William McNair, still top two teams. Smashing and he's got it. A little bit of a gap as well. 18 points for second. And then he's got another 20-odd points, another 18 points. He's 36 clear at the top. He's done well. I mean, if he picks up first prize and second prize, is it 10 grand second prize? I feel like it is. No, 55 grand. Can't be bad. Can't be bad at all.
I'm 52nd.
Yep.
Where do you think I am in our Patreon mini league?
I know Ian's ahead of you. I'm going to say fourth.
10th.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So it's so many good people that we know who are right near the top. And it's not just Planet FPL patrons that go for a lot of people. You know, in the cash leagues I opened up, right? I'm 5th, 8th, 7th, 6th.
Yep.
The standard is of people that we know who are in and amongst it. Genuinely in this game, someone you know could win the 50K. That's great. It's just a small community who's got a chance of winning something that's better than a stress ball and a t-shirt.
Exactly that.
It's that. So the prize helps as well.
Yeah. Is now a good time to let you know that I have a secret identity.
Go on.
My name's William McNair. And I've been winning Sky. Was it? No, it's not really. It's not really. Unfortunately,
no,
I haven't
no one
created
believe that, Suj.
A fake ID and got myself two teams to get top.
If you were William McNair, you'd finish about 5th.
I wouldn't be on the show. My team would be secret, hidden. I'd be locked away. I'd have probably spent my winnings, to be honest with you. Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Planet Sky FF. Again, if you want to support the show, if you want access to James's fixture planning spreadsheet, if you want a very engaged community of Sky managers, then you know where to go. It's patreon.com/planetfpl. And you can share your teams there. I think in the last sort of run-up, people will be sharing some rogue and fun ideas within the Slack community as well. Tomorrow, James, you got COTC.
Yes.
Clash of the Correspondents.
Manchester United versus Newcastle with Gary Robson and Simon Bibby. Got West Ham versus Luton with Chris Stone and Dan Ashby on Friday for you as well.
Nice. Good, good, good. So, wherever you're listening to the show, if you don't mind hitting the like button, subscribe, notification bell, whatever will get the algorithm to share this stuff with as many people as possible. But most importantly, stay safe. Look after yourselves as well. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Play it your way. Enjoy the penultimate Premier League weekend. Cue music, please. Manchild.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.